too. I miss you too. It's so weird doing this podcast. I literally feel like we're doing the longest distance phone call. You sound like you're miles away, but obviously no one listening to this is going to have any idea.
I know. It seems so... this room seems so empty without you.
A lot of people say that when I leave rooms.
It was funny listening to the last podcast because I felt like we were all in the same room too, and it made me like think we had been.
I know, but we're not. We're miles and miles and miles away.
Because Dawn is actually in Zimbabwe. What are you doing in Zimbabwe, Dawn?
I'm not in Zimbabwe, I'm in London, Soho, like. So anyway, I've totally nailed living in Soho. I've moved flat from the studio that I was in, which was like sleeping on the M1, and I've moved upstairs two floors into a one-bedroom apartment, and my bedroom is back from the street, so I sleep better, and I'm absolutely loving it.
Awesome.
I miss Soho, I must say.
It's brilliant. I tell you, the problem with living in Soho, though, is that I'm spending an absolute fortune. I eat out for breakfast, lunch and dinner. I buy coffees and teas throughout the day, even though I've got a kettle in my flat. It seems that I've got this kind of holiday mentality when I can't make any food in the flat.
That's exactly when Steve and I lived in Soho. We never cooked. I think we cooked like once a month or something.
But it's impossible because, you're walking home and you smell what you want for dinner before you've got home. So you just go buy it.
And the coffee thing, I mean, Bar Italia and all the other places. But Bar Italia is such a cool place to have coffee.
I'm a Starbucks girl, though.
It would be cheaper to hire a manservant.
I know, I've got one of those. I've always had one of those. I don't travel anywhere without him.
I want one.
The only problem is, though, I am literally Dawn Porker because I can't stop eating. I've just done everything. When you're not in control of what you're making, you just don't seem to care because I seem to be working continuously. And when I'm not working, I'm going out. And so going out and drinking and calories don't count the next day. And then when I'm working, calories don't count because you just eat what you're given when you get it because otherwise you won't get anything. So I'm literally looking down at my rather rotund belly now.
What about the gym? What happened to the gym? No time,
I guess. The gym. Yeah, I remember.
he was lovely.
Gym's your answer.
I went to the gym a few times last week and I've done a couple of power plate sessions, but I'm literally working so much that I don't have time. I've hardly seen any of my friends, if I'm honest. I've got a lovely fella and I haven't really seen him very much because it's just impossible to get any time. I'm either stuffing my face with food or got a camera in my face or writing an article. So I'm not being very sociable.
Well, that's fine. You know, you got to do your thing. Whatever happens, whatever comes, you're working. That's brilliant.
Can I tell you something? I went to see a psychic the other day. And
oh my God, so did I. Oh my God, what happened?
And she said that she sees me doing a social thing with other women. And then I said, oh, perhaps it's the radio thing, the podcast. And she goes, oh, let me look at that. So she looked at it and she sees a man in his 50s who works for the Times, who is going to help us make this an international success on a bigger broadband.
That is outrageous. That's so
And he's got
specific.
A bit of a belly.
That's very
specific.
Sounds hot.
Yeah, so anyway, look out for the man at the Times who's got a belly.
Okay, I'm writing a lot for the Times at the moment, so maybe I need to go and have a meeting.
Oh, that is
That's so weird, because she said something about a journalist at the Times. Ah. That's so weird, Dawn. You could bat bellies.
Dawn Porker meets fat bellied reporter from the Times.
It's me. She got most of it right, but I'm not a 50-year-old man. I'm just Dawn Porker.
You big fibber.
Who writes for the Times.
Hey, listen, what did your psychic say?
Well, it was really weird because I'm making a show about breast cancer at the moment. And so I just went to see the psychic to see what, you know, what it looked like my future was health-wise. And but she kept on going on about other stuff, my love life, and some stuff that she said about this guy that I'm seeing was really specific and really amazing. And my director was like, can we focus on the health? And I was like, forget the health. I want to talk about the guy. And it was really interesting, but it was, you know, it's the same, like if they say something that you want to hear, you think it's gospel truth, you know, and but a lot of the time they don't. But she was really crackers, this lady, like really, really quite scary. And halfway through, she just stared into the camera and almost like her eyes bulged out of her head and started going on about 2012 and how we all.
Oh, my one went on about 2012 as well.
Oh my God, what's going to happen in 2012?
Apparently, like, we're all going to blow up.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's the what is it again?
It's Nostradamus.
It's a bit
probably.
Scary.
Yeah, Nostradamus. It's a very bit scary. Yeah.
As if though, I don't. I'm sorry. I'm sure that there have been numerous predictions that we're going to blow up in. There have been loads over the last however many years, and we're still here. Do you know what? Do you know what Dawn says? We're going to be fine.
But you know what? As well, if we blow up, we won't even know about it, so it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
What would you do if there was? If you knew there was going to be like a nuclear asteroid. Bomb that was going to wipe us out, my view would be I would just get a six-pack of beer, run to the top of the nearest hill and just watch it.
I wouldn't. I would go and hang out with all my friends and give them all cuddles.
No, that would be too emotional because you'd all end up crying your eyes out. I think you just run for the hills and watch the beauty of a nuclear explosion.
I'd rather just, like, carry on as normal and not think about it.
Gail,
and just let
there's no way that you would carry on as normal. If you were told at midday on Tuesday, you're going to blow up. I might just take Petal for a stroll down Melbourne.
I'll just do the laundry.
Yeah, I'm just going to do the month grocery shopping.
I know, because I can't... The thought of that happening is so scary to me. Well, of course, to everyone, but I just would rather just pretend it's not happening and just let it happen, and I'll just be doing my normal thing and everyone will be doing their normal thing.
Hey, Dawn, can't you come back for the BAFTA Comedy Awards in LA in a couple of weeks?
No.
Oh.
Quite frankly, it's not that important.
I just thought, because you're rather funny.
I definitely can't. Can I? My schedule is so tight for the next month. I don't have much chance for life, really. But I did something quite fun last night. I went on the TV show Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah, and ate in the restaurant. And it was...
Who's the chef?
Marco Pierre White.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah, it was really good. I went there. I took my agent's assistant because she's so lovely and she does so much for me and I never get to pay her back or thank her for anything. So I took her.
Did she listen to the podcast?
She might do. Shout out to Ruthie.
What's her name, Brucie?
Ruth. I don't know why I patronised her by adding a Y to the end of her name.
Ruthie. Hi, Ruthie.
Ruthie.
Big up from LA.
Yeah. Big up.
So we went there and my food, I ordered the crab starter and it came out in like under a minute. And you know when you're really suspicious when your food just comes out a little bit too fast?
Did it crawl out? Crawl out to you.
It'd been under a heat lamp.
It was really delicious, the crab. But then for the main course, Gail, you're going to hate me for this, but I had the veal and mashed potato.
Yummy.
But it was disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. It was so oily that I couldn't really eat it. And then the maitre d' came over and said to me that he'd watched them make it earlier that day and they just basically melt like four massive blocks of butter into the mashed potato and it's 50% butter. And I was like, the visualisation of that made me just not be able to eat anymore.
And what about the visualisation of the baby cow being fattened up and killed?
That's for the
vegan fan.
Yeah, I know, but it's delicious. And so anyway, because I left most of my food, they were all over me because they were like, oh my God, why did you leave your food? Was it really bad? You know,
especially with a belly like yours.
Dawn Porker.
I didn't find that funny.
I love you.
I'm the only one allowed to say that I'm Dawn Porker.
No, but there's just more of you to love.
Love that one. Well done, you redeemed yourself. So my food was a bit rubbish last night, which I was quite upset about, but I'm going to go for an absolutely whopping great steak tonight, I think, because it's Friday.
Go
You've
vegan.
Got to have steak on Fridays.
Yummy. Yummy.
Gail, stop preaching.
I know.
I'm not preaching, I'm just...
I'm going to start preaching to her to eat, like, chicken livers.
It's disgusting.
Eat meat.
Carry on.
Eat meat. Go on.
Vegan.
So have you been Twittering? I keep trying to get you to add me on Twitter and you haven't.
Oh, sorry. No, I will do. I have been tweeting quite a lot.
Have you been fluttering or flittering?
Flittering.
Twittering or flittering. Been doing lots of flittering. I feel like I've got some real buddies on Twitter. Like people that, you know, go beyond my normal social circle. People that I probably never meet.
Beyond.
But that I chat to them about things I don't even talk to my friends about.
There's got to be another name for that.
What can we call that?
Scritter.
I don't know.
I don't know. Oh, that's nice, though.
Secretor.
And it must be nice for them, too.
Yeah, Secretor. No, it's lovely. Oh, can I just tell you something about... I wanted to tell you... just something that really annoyed me today. This is so boring, but it just really riled me, and I just wanted to talk about it. I don't even know why I'm going to say this. Like, this is literally a podcast car crash, what I'm about to come out with. It's so boring that I'm just hoping that one of you is going to interrupt me and make me talk about something else, but you're not. Okay. So.
No, we're going to listen. I want to hear.
Okay, well, I was in this place for lunch today, and it's this really hot, funky, spunky, trendy new place in Soho. I can't remember what it's called. Let me just hang on, wait there. I'm just going to look out the window and see what it's called.
Oh, I see. Oh. She's out the window.
It's written in some stupid italics and I can't even read it. So it's a really cool new bread place.
Anyway, and you don't want people to know where you live.
No, exactly.
No. So anyway,
they'll go there and then realise you're...
So there is this salad bar, this amazing salad bar. But you're only allowed, the only option you can have is two types of salad for £6.50. So I said, but
that
can
is
I
boring.
Have a little bit of a third salad?
Oh, my God.
And she said, no, you're not allowed to have a little bit of third salad. And I went, but I can't decide on two salads. I want three salads. Can't you just give me a little bit less?
Dawn, I'm sorry, I'm going, oh my God, but I just have to interject here. I have such a funny story. When I was about 9, my mum and dad and brother and I were in south of France or somewhere. We were driving in a motor... We were in England still, but we were on the way to south of France in a motorway cafe. Same thing. We were in like some cheap motorway cafe. And my dad was like, can I have a bit of that salad? And the woman was like, well, that's one salad and you can only have like two salads. And he was like, well, can I have a bit of that? And she was like, well, that's two salads. He's like, well, whatever. I just want that. And then same thing. It went on and on. Well, I'm sorry, sir, but that's six salads. And he was like really freaking out. Anyway, you know when you drag the tray along? Basically dragged the tray along to the end, and after being so frustrated with all these fucking salads, the whole tray went on the floor and everything just and my dad just went, there's no fucking salads.
Can I just point out, this is what happens when you opt for salad. Always eat meat.
No, but I mean, do you know what my salad was today? Do you know what my salad was? It was chicken, avocado, and mayonnaise. I mean, it was so...
That's not
a salad.
It was
just this big lump of chicken, avocado, mayonnaise with some... And then I had the tomato salad on the side, but I really wanted some of the fennel. And I was trying to negotiate with this
that
woman
was
saying,
salad.
I feel like you're stunting my indulgent nature. And I'm really offended by the fact that you won't... I'm going to have to start all over again and basically spend £13 to have all the salad that I want to have.
So basically, Madam, you need to spend about £20 on a salad just to get everything that you normally have in a salad.
I say, if you
just
wanted
so that
a
I
pick
could
a mix...
a little bit of fennel.
Yeah, but if you want to pick a mix, go to Woolworths.
Except Woolworths is shut down.
Well, Woolworths doesn't exist anymore.
God, I'm showing my age. It's Juliana's birthday today. Big up to
Juliana.
And John Lee tomorrow.
John Lee from S Club 7.
Yes. S Club 7, John Lee.
Happy birthday,
John.
Happy birthday, guys. Happy birthday from London. I've got a funny story as well. So my crew, basically, my director is called Lee, and he directed Super Slim Me and Dawn Gets Naked. Hi, Lee. Oh, and
hi, Lee.
He's directing this show that I'm making about breast cancer. And cool. My two producers are called Michelle and Jess. And I worked with Jess on Dawn Gets Lesbian. And Michelle made my entire Channel 4 series and also my Dirty Dancing programme.
Wow.
So I've worked with them all loads before and we have an absolute blast. Anyway, last week we went up to Manchester to do some filming. And we're driving up. And Jess and I are both just in really, really, really silly moods. And we stopped off at the service station and we just, for some reason, can't stop giggling. Anyway, I was really hungry, but I didn't know what to have. And I wanted a jacket potato, but I really don't like jacket potatoes unless the skin's really crispy. So anyway, I'm standing at the buffet table. Well, it's not actually a buffet. It's like counter with the woman. But I can't actually touch the jacket potato myself. So I said to the woman behind the counter, please can you just tap the jacket potato so I can get some indication of how crispy the shell is? She taps the jacket potato and Jess and I kind of look at it, move to the side of the queue and discuss how crispy the potato was. Anyway, we come to the conclusion that it's perfectly crispy and we really want it. Just as we're about to go back, this guy swoops in, points at our potato and nabs it. So I said, oh my God. It was terrible. I said, "Oi, that's my potato." And he just mumbled. He just mumbled under his breath, "Oh, you potato knickers." And I just went, "Oh, potato no one's knickers. Ever called me that before." It was so funny. And then,
I just want to say, you've Jess been said, in England too long.
I know. And then Jess said, "Oh," because we couldn't stop laughing. And he doesn't realise what he'd said. He'd basically just called me potato knickers, which we just thought was hysterical. So Jess said...
You could have called him spud snatcher.
I know, but he just basically said... Jess said, "Oh, that's really tickled me." And he just went, "Well, they would, wouldn't they?"
That's brilliant.
That's brilliant.
Turns out we could suddenly invented this new, really endearing term. You like them potato knickers?
So you know what's really funny? I noticed when I go back to England that my English friends there obsess about complaining about food.
Oh, yeah.
It's really funny because that's what you've done for like the last 10 minutes.
No, it's but can I just say, though, in Hell's Kitchen last night, like, the director's really trying to encourage you to
20.
Complain about the food because it's obviously on TV. But I can't complain. Like, I would literally be hacking up a hairball before I said there was something wrong with my food. I'm so ridiculously polite about it. And that's weird just because I'm so particular and so, you know, into my food. But I don't know. I hate complaining.
I quite like it. I don't complain that often.
I complain if it's not good.
Yeah.
You know, if something's cold or something, you're paying good money for it. You know, Ciccone's are doing a full English breakfast this week in honour of Brit Week.
Oh, really?
You have baked beans on toast for $9.
I know.
Oh, yummy.
I had big fat sausages and they even give you black pudding.
I like black pudding. I like the taste of it. When I'm eating it, I get a bit.
I've never had
it. Isn't it congealed blood?
Yeah, I can't eat it actually.
Isn't it congealed blood?
No, I don't think so. But yeah. A little bit. It's like a scab. Did you ever eat your scabs when you were a kid?
I used to pick them off.
Oh
but
my
I never used to eat
god!
Them.
It's only scabs.
When I was a little kid, I used to pick my scabs, and sometimes I'd like just bite them.
Oh yeah, I did actually. I think I used to have a big ball. Yeah,
yeah. You just did. You couldn't help it. It's protein.
Yeah, but there's something
you
about.
Made me sick.
Well, I'd rather eat my own scab than a.
Didn't you ever eat your own scab?
Okay, can we talk about something else? Because I'm about to go and eat a steak, and this is actually making me feel quite repulsed. I have
so it's working then. So okay. It's working.
No. Yeah, no, that's really quite dark. So I have this question or this quandary, or maybe it's an issue. So you know when you're talking to a guy, and. Yes. You are not flirting in your mind. And suddenly, halfway through the conversation, you realise that everything that comes out of your mouth, they are thinking, oh, she does want to sleep with me. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, I got home last night at about 12 o'clock. I was a little bit drunkies. And anyway, I kind of, you know, I've got this flat and there are quite a few flats in the building. And I come face to face with the guy who's coming out of the flat next door. Quite a kind of cute American, but a bit kind of... uncle-ish for me.
And you said, fancy a shag.
Did he have a big belly?
Yeah, so anyway, he says, are you my neighbour? And I went, yeah, hi. Really, like, you know, a bit drunk. I was wearing a minute miniskirt as well, a massive high heel. So I basically look like a whore. And and so I'm standing in the corridor talking to him, trashed and just being a bit kind of, you know, chatty. But suddenly he just goes, suddenly I realised that what I actually said to him was, give me a knock next week and we can go out for a drink. As soon as I said it, I went, what'd you say that for, Dawn? Why did you ask the man out on a date? So then he just goes, oh, well, I can't wait to tell you. Yeah, I'll take you out for dinner. We'll have a great night. I don't know many people here. And now I thought, oh, it's okay. I'm just going to, you know, avoid. I'll tiptoe past his door and I'll get
take
out of it.
You know what to do? Every time you go past him, stick your belly out even further and look 6 months pregnant. And then he'll stay far away.
That's a good plan. But do you know what I did this morning? So I'm walking back up this morning. I popped out to get some Starbucks this morning. Uh-huh. And I had, happy to say, this morning I had to bring two Starbucks back to the flat.
Because you were thirsty.
Anyway, because I had, you know, I had a late visitor last night. A late visitor. God, that makes me sound awful. But
it's a late visitor.
Because I ran late last night.
A bootay?
So anyway, so I walked up the stairs. Sorry?
A bootay.
A bootay, yes. A very lovely bootay. And so I was walking upstairs with my Starbucks in my hand and the Boutet's Starbucks was in a bag, and I heard the guy open his door, so I like went to this crazy manic, get both Starbucks in my hands, walking upstairs going, and then I just said, just as I was walking upstairs, he always makes me go out for the morning Starbucks.
That's really funny. You know what's really funny? Even if I haven't gotten a visitor, I might just get two cups of coffee to make it look like I have.
I know, but it was such a good idea. I was so like, That's great. Or make really loud sex noises when you're on your own in the flat. Do you know what I mean?
Or call up. Or call up. Darling, I'll be there in a second.
Yeah.
Or I'm locked out. Exactly. Can you throw the keys out the window?
That's such a good one. But you must have done it if you think there's someone in the house or if you're a bit scared or something. And then you'll just be like... you'll shout something and then reply in a really big, deep voice. Yeah, baby, I'll be down in a minute. That's going to scare off anyone.
Have you walked home and been scared and just pretended to speak to someone on the phone?
And then your phone starts ringing.
Oh, my God. I do that all the time.
I used to do that all the time. I used to actually do the deep voice. I used to have my big puffer coat on in England with a hood and do like, all right, yeah. And I used to pretend to be a
bloke. No, the best thing to do when you're walking home at night and you're scared is behave like a nutter.
No, it's true. I've heard this before. It scares people off.
Yeah, start twitching and muttering and things like that. And like, maybe go, what are you looking at? You know, things like that. And then they think you're crazy psycho and they'll stay well away.
Craig gave me that idea. I shouldn't really admit to this, but when I'm, because I get recognised quite a lot now, which I don't mind at all. It's lovely, but sometimes you just don't want people coming over. So I definitely walk around on the phone when there's nobody on the phone quite a lot. And what really makes me laugh about it is what comes out of my mouth when I'm having this great conversation. Like, I make all these plans. I make people say, I have my little phone relationships with people that don't exist. I mean, it's actually quite psychopathic behaviour, but it's a really good way of kind of, you know, keeping your head down and not having people come over. Yeah. But just imagine if it's like... I know how you think CCTV captures so much of what you do, but imagine if that had audio and I was just snapped walking around London having these inane conversations with people that don't exist on my telephone.
You'd definitely be admitted.
You know what I do, though, is make sure you call your voicemail or something so that you're actually on the phone so your phone doesn't ring, otherwise you do look really silly.
Or you just turn your phone off.
Oh, I've done that before, though. I've been pretending to be on the phone and then the phone rings and I'll go, oh, God, I didn't realise I must have hung up with my chin.
That's genius. You're so clever.
I mean, I literally am a pro at fake phone calls. It's my thing. Brilliant.
So have you got any other issues you want to discuss with us? Where your advice line?
I was just about to ask you guys if you've got any problems you want me to help you with.
Problems?
No.
Because you know
I'm
that
right.
I do, I am actually Dear Dawn in Company magazine and people write to me and I give them advice.
Are you?
Yeah, I have a Dear Dawn column in every month in Company magazine. It's amazing the things that people ask me and I love my
column. I'm going to start sending you letters.
I just find it petrifying.
Yeah, well, also, what's scary is that people are actually going to take your advice, maybe. So
I know,
but
luckily, I know, I have to be very careful, and I do take it very, very seriously. And the editor, Victoria, is a very, very good friend of mine, so I know that she would, she really looks at all my answers. But I really enjoy it, actually. I really, really enjoy it. And so I was going to say, if anyone's got something that they just want me to answer in company, they should just email it to my dawn@dawnporter.net website on my email address on my website, because I'll just get it there.
Is there anything that has been written in that you could discuss, obviously anonymously?
There's lots of stuff like that. There was one girl. There was one last week that a girl feels like she hasn't had enough sexual experience and that she doesn't stand a chance with guys and that all the kind of slutty, confident girls get all the guys. And I was like, yeah, they do, but it's on a very superficial level, most likely. Mm. And how lovely to be a little purer, and that she should be confident with that.
Absolutely. I think the girls do think that, oh, you know, it just looks that way. You're right, because it looks like all the girls that are sexually active are really popular. Of course they are, but you're right, it's like a fly-by-night thing. They're very popular because probably one tells the other and, you know, all their mates. Yeah, that, you know, but it doesn't last. So
I know.
That girl...
Well, the thing is you're going to be, you know, to find a man who wants you to be a slut in the bedroom and a wife in the kitchen, it's just a really hard mix. Mm. And I think a lot of girls think that, you know, the slutty thing is what guys are really interested in. But when it comes to relationships, actually, I think they find that quite, they don't really want it. So I don't know. I think you should just, no matter what you've done and who you've slept with, or if you haven't slept with anybody or whatever, just kind of think, well, think about what you want to do in the future as opposed to what you've done in the past when it comes to relationships.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I just think don't have any regrets and don't feel guilty about stuff.
What is the point?
If you're not happy with maybe your behaviour, maybe if you are a slut or something, and like me, just if you're not happy with it, just change your behaviour. You know,
exactly, and just think about what you want to be in the future. That's the best way to do it, I think. Guys, I think we've come to the end of podcast.
We have,
nine,
we have.
I think.
So we can email you at dawn at what is it if we want to send a problem in?
Yeah, dawn@dawnporter.net.
Cool.
You mean dawn@dawnporker.net?
Gail,
I'm going to buy that domain, Dawn Porker.
Bye. I'm going to carry on because it's my show and I can. I've got the best name for tabloid, names. So my job makes me Dawn Reporter.
Oh, good.
That's good.
Right. I put on a bit of weight, I'm Dawn Porker.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got no money, you're Dawn Pauper.
if I develop a bit of a drug problem, I'm Dawn Snorter.
And also you're Porn's daughter.
That's great.
If I just gave them something bad to write about, then they can have an absolute blast with my name.
Oh, go on, do something
Dawn
bad, Dawn.
Dawn Snorter. I like that.
Maybe should just do something really naughty so we get some of their names out to the massive.
What is counted as naughty these days? Is it being photographed with the wrong person?
I don't know. Everyone does something naughty all the time in the paper. Do you know what? Actually, that's something else I wanted to talk to you guys about. It's so weird after being away for so long, coming back and seeing the same boring rubbish celebrities being written about every day in the tabloids and the magazines. We're still banging on about the same people. It's so dull.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit if Kerry Katona's got cellulite or Cheryl Cole's, got a spot or Victoria Beckham's,
eating a
salad?
It was fun a few years ago, but having been away and they're still repeating the same stuff, I'm just so over it.
Well, you can see why in England the whole Princess Diana or whatever thing happened, because they get one person that's a victim and they just won't leave that person alone until they break down in tears on TV. And
they maybe stay out of trouble, Porn Daughter. Yeah.
But we don't care about that on Dawn Porter's important things, because we don't talk about celebrities, do we, girls?
No, we don't.
We talk about food. Okay, guys. Well, listen, I'll speak to you. We're doing it bi-weekly because it's so difficult
Bi-monthly.
We got very confused when we were trying to arrange to do it bi-weekly.
Bi-weekly
we're just doing
means
it
twice
bi.
A week.
Just say we're doing it bi.
We're just bi.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys. I'll speak to you later. Bye.
Love you.
Love you.